24/7 World Radio, Watch Unto Prayer. Today is January 26, 2023. Thank you for tuning in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and time. Thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for preserving your word. Thank you for enabling us to make heads and tails out of right and wrong, and out of history, and out of your will, and out of your character, and out of truth of the forgiveness of our sins, which is possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. We would have never figured it out on our own were it not for you and your grace explaining it to us in your word. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth. I pray that you'd please enable the preaching of your word to go forth with clarity and with boldness and conviction, calling sinners to repentance and faith in you. Thank you for your blessed Son. Thank you for his finished work on the cross. And thank you for the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, amen. 24/7 World Radio, Watch Unto Prayer. And here we have ourselves towards the end of January 2023. Let me turn in my Bible to Revelation 17 and verse 4. Oh, look! God puts things in the appropriate context. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Wow, so God just comes right out and says it. And here is the mind which hath wisdom, verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Interesting. The woman that sits on seven hills, decked in scarlet and purple, with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. And verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Indeed, pray tell, what more can you say about this? So it seems to me as though God is telling us that there's some kind of clandestine religio-political institution in the world that sits on seven hills and is clothed in scarlet and purple and also has enormous elaborate amounts of gold and precious stones and pearls and a golden cup in her hand, and is referred to in verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Indeed, pray tell, who is this woman who reigns over the kings of the earth? That sounds a little bit cloak and dagger, wouldn't you say? An institution wielding vast material wealth and conscripting huge amounts of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls. It doesn't say gold and silver. It says, it says gold and precious stones and pearls, with a golden cup in her hand. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are. Let me give you a hint. It's this Rome. It's the Rome that has always been. Rome has always been pagan and anti-Christ. And then in about 300, 400, 500, it morphed from the Roman Empire into the Roman papacy. And its doctrine has always been incorrect and a whitewashing and a smattering of pagan philosophy. And Lord willing, I'll get to the book called, The Two Babylons. Boy, wouldn't that be something to read? The Two Babylons. Well, anyway, with that as a backdrop, we turn our attention to the fact that one of the high watermarks of the Protestant Reformation, which broke the power of the Pope, was the translation of the King James Bible. And eventually, in the English-speaking world, the settlement of North America And ultimately, the preaching of the Word of God, set in the general context and framework of English common law, with Puritanism, Presbyterianism, Lutheranism, most of which were just generally Calvinistic, and the free circulation of the English Bible, which was called the Authorized Version of the Scriptures, an English-speaking people here. And I understand there was disagreements and so on between the Puritans and how things ought to happen, and church government with the Anglicans, sure. And then you had Scotch-Irish Presbyterianism flourish in the American South. What a wonderful thing. And ultimately, the Declaration of Independence, as the preaching of the gospel was constantly going forth. You had religious persecution in Europe and at times in America. But at that point, the throne of England was already under the thumb of the Jesuit order, attempting to stomp out its rivals, the preachers of the Word of God. So you end up with things like the Salem witch trials, and you end up with things like the Church of England in America making life miserable for Presbyterians, for Baptists, and so on. And eventually we broke away from England, and so on. So it goes with Puritanism, Presbyterianism, Protestantism in general, the King James Bible. Of course, you have to have the Independent Baptists, good German Lutherans, and you have the Congregationals, which was basically the Puritans in New England. So we can go on and on and on and on and on. But I want to say that I came across a statistic saying that something like in the colonies, the average person was exposed to something like 7,000 sermons to the point through their young adulthood, I think. I can't remember the cutoff. 7,000 sermons, totaling something like 10,000 hours of listening to the preaching of the Word of God. 10,000 hours. Preaching on everything from this to that, no doubt making application to the family, to the political sphere, to the just everything. The Bible has a little bit to say about everything, and so it should be preached to cover everything. And so with the decay that's happened in America and in most of the countries of the West that were formerly based in large part by the Bible, what you've had is the pulpits not saying things that they should be saying. Most of it's been brought upon themselves by their government contracts. They've agreed not to say things that they should be saying. And if you want to get the lowdown on that, get a book called In Caesar's Grip. It tells a wonderful story. Actually, it's a terrible story, but he does a wonderful job telling it. And it has to do with what happens when a church becomes a corporation and gets its 501c3 tax exempt status. It means it cannot say the things that it should say. It means that it has to be truncated. It has to be cut off. It has to be self-censored. So if we want to talk about the day and times in which we live, where do we find ourselves in 2023? Well, as goes the church, so goes the nation. We find ourselves in a situation where we now have the First Amendment put under the gun. Right to free speech. Well, the churches brought that upon themselves by making that agreement, like Samson cutting off his own hair. They walked right into it. And so it follows that now the enemies of God are emboldened even more to push to shove as much censorship down our throats as they possibly can, cutting off as much truth as possible, and so on. And I see here in California, at communist Jesuit Swill Hole, with Gavin Newsom, the Jesuit, that I can barely stand to look at. Judge issues preliminary injunction blocking Jesuit Gavin Newsom's COVID misinformation law. The Jesuits, I believe, pushed COVID, so-called, this giant three-year abscess, down our throats for the purpose chiefly of A, getting as many of these jabs into as many people's arms as possible, turning their arteries into calamari and giving them premature deaths. B, massively targeting the free flow of information, because they can come out smelling like a rose. Oh, we're just trying to cut off information that was harmful and damaging. Information can be damaging, and so we don't want lies to be circulating because we care so much about you people. Now, you care about benefiting your papal masters, and so that's why they would put up something like the misinformation laws. They're so insistently, connivingly, consistently pressing this idea of, why do we need to censor? Well, let's list the reasons. Let's reverse engineer some scenarios that cause the people to go along with the idea of false dissemination of information. Here we have the California Osteopathic Medical Board of Destroying Your Lives, which can discipline physicians who, quote, disseminate information about COVID that is not in line with the contemporary party line, like in the Soviet Union, the party. This free speech issue, this First Amendment issue, is probably the hill that is the most critical for Rome to take, because if you can shut down free speech, then you can shut down a whole host of actions, a whole host of ideas, thought, and the free flow of information. And so it's absolutely critical to try as hard as they possibly can to give as many justifications as possible, real or imagined, or partially real, like the whole January 6th false flag operation, to justify the idea that we really need government to step in to keep us all safe, and so on. And so that's another big, big piece of the trans, gay, sodomite agenda, is the idea that your speech is hurting me. Your speech is damaging. Your speech is damaging. Your speech is hurtful. And hurtful and also injurious and also obviously needing to be stopped. And so we can convince all the dupes who have been through our little socialist education system that this is something we should take action against, because we really need someone to stop this speech. It's just the same old thing where Satan tries to cut off the preaching of righteousness and truth. Satan hates the truth. Satan hates when the truth is preached. Satan hates when God gets the glory. Satan hates when the God of truth is known. Satan hates when sinners are convicted by the preaching of the truth and repent. Satan hates it when he loses grip on his little sinners in the world. Satan hates it when people leave Team Satan and join Team Jesus. Satan hates it when sinners get saved. Satan hates the pure preaching of the truth and of righteousness. And so Satan wants to stop the preaching of righteousness. Satan wants to stop the preaching of the truth. Satan wants to stop the preaching of the Bible and of making specific application to what God calls abuses of themselves with mankind, and so on, and effeminate, and so on. Men with men working that which is unseemly. Or as the Bible would say, in the beginning God made them male and female. Well, what's the difference between a man and a woman? Well, God made the difference between a man and a woman. So it's theological. And so if we're going to have any kinds of discussions, well, we're going to have a discussion about who God is and the fact that God designed things to be that way. Because the atheist starts their conversation on the exact opposite side of the coin. We're going to start our conversation with the premise that there is no God. And we're going to start our premise with the idea that we can rationalize everything through our own reasoning. But why is that the correct premise to begin with? I'm going to begin with the premise that there is a God and he's been revealed in his word, and that his word is the King James Bible, and that this is the truth right here, that in the beginning God made them male and female, because that's what Jesus said. Oh, and by the way, Jesus rose again from the dead. And according to Mark chapter 6, Jesus says that God made them male and female in the beginning. That means that there was no evolution either. That means that there was no monkeys turning into men. There was no sea amoeba. There was no Big Bang. And according to Jesus, the one who rose again from the dead and died for my sins and is coming back again on a white horse, that man is telling everyone that he made the world in 6 days, and then on the sixth day he made man and woman, and then on the seventh day God rested. Oh, and Jesus is also the Son of God and part of the Godhead, and that's what the Bible teaches about that. So with 10,000 hours of that kind of preaching about all subject matter, you're going to get a people that are focused on what the Bible has to say about things, not what man thinks. And if that's the case, you're going to ultimately reap the benefits, like the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and a whole bunch of other liberties that the world takes for granted. Or at least that Americans seem to, at least. It's because they had the preaching of the whole Bible. And Lord willing, we'll be back after the break to talk a little bit more about this censorship and various other things. Lord bless.
You're listening to Your Source for the Truth. This is 24/7 World Radio.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour, and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
This is 24/7 World Radio. your source for the truth.
World Radio, Watch into Prayer. And we are back. And, well, during the break, so before the break, we were talking about some of the benefits of the scriptures that it can have on a people. And I see here the ramifications of trying desperately to popularize the diluting free speech. Yeah, watering it down and coming up with reasons why it would be okay in this situation to chip away, and in this situation to chip away, and in this situation to chip away. Not, of course, not in terms of like censoring pornography or, you know, protecting the children from illicit wickedness and sin. That's not on Satan's agenda. Satan's agenda is to encourage pornography. Satan's agenda is to encourage wickedness and sin. Satan's agenda is to encourage all of this unbridled lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust, lust, lust. Fornication, and so on. That is absolutely on Satan's agenda to breathe as much life into as possible. So in terms of Satan's version of a censorship, what he's more interested in is shutting up the people that are going to agree with Jehovah, the people that are going to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that are going to reprove and rebuke that which is ungodly and wrong and wicked. That's what Satan is keenly interested in stamping out and suppressing. And that's what most part his intelligence agencies are used to do. And that's in most part what tyrants and dictators have done throughout history, is to suppress the preachers of the gospel for one reason or another. And various demons and devils energize the totalitarian governmental leadership, energize them in a Satan-benefiting direction. And so that's what you have in the Dark Ages, where the Pope would round people up in the night for heresy, take them down to the torture chambers, torture a confession out of them with horrible, ghastly instruments of torture, and then dispose of the bodies, either publicly burning them or throwing them into the Iron Maiden or doing a host of things to them. You can find this throughout the Old Testament. The preachers of righteousness are attacked, vilified, abused, ignored, either by the mass of people, by the leaders, by whoever. Very rarely do people respond the way that David did when Nathan confronted him. More often than not, people will harden their hearts like Pharaoh and stop their ears and cry, away with him, away with him, and so on. Well, truth be told, it's God working through the messenger to convict the heart of sin, judgment, and righteousness to come. And so we have a Bible that has sort of beat the 21st century to the punch and has already perfectly illustrated example after example after example of the truth being told and the truth being ignored, rejected, scorned, mocked, ridiculed, conspired against, denied, and so on. So this is not like new. There's nothing new under the sun. This is old school. This has been going on for thousands of years. And especially with the preaching of the Word of God. They didn't listen to Jesus, and so on. In fact, they moved to silence the preaching of the truth. And we ultimately ended up with the grand and glorious First Amendment to the Constitution, which, by the way, was proposed by a Virginia Baptist. I believe he was from Virginia. Might have been from... No, he might have been from Rhode Island. John Leland. I think he was from Virginia. And he proposed to James Madison, you can check out all the details, the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. So again, you might want to go to the men who know the Lord and who diligently study his word, in particular the King James Bible, as it was influenced John Leland to even conceive of the Bill of Rights, securing rights to the individual. Independent Baptists wanted a protection against being compelled to go along with an organized religious system. And they were right about that. They wanted to be able to be independent. One of the strengths, however, the counterargument to that, one of the strengths of the Presbyterian Scotch-Irish was their congregations had close affiliation with one another, and all throughout the Appalachian Mountain region and through the South, they were able to endure, carry on, and continue their steadfast pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word for a very long time, much longer than the Congregationalists, Puritans in New England. But nevertheless, the preaching of the Word of God is able to touch hearts and change minds and souls and lives. And so this is what the First Amendment is for. It's for the freedom of preach. And the Second Amendment is for the freedom of you to own a gun, to put your sinners in office on notice that they cannot just do whatever they want. They cannot just do whatever they want with you. We are not to be disposed of by our leaders. That is not the purpose of government. We are not their property. We are not their children. We are not their playthings. Man has a certain dignity and a certain independent capacity to manage his own affairs. And basically, you know, this is not a socialist concept. This is not a collectivist concept. And as you read the scriptures, you see God is teaching us that man is sinful and corrupt and radically depraved and essentially evil. And so the biblical understanding of the nature of man is, I think, never discussed. The biblical understanding of the nature of man is that we are sinners. And that we are radically depraved. Not pretty good, not mostly good, not, getting there or whatever. We're capable of great evil. And toward God, in our lost state, we hate God. We hate true righteousness. Maybe we're very nice on the outside, but inwardly, we're dead men's bones. As Jesus talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders. So that's what's on our inside. And so that is the capability of every lost sinner. And so that's the capability of the lost sinner who gets into governmental office. And so being a believer of the sinfulness of man and man's unending potential for ungodly thoughts, desires, actions. The governmental system needs to be limited. And so that's what the Constitution does. It limits the power It says, you cannot do this, you can't 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 do this. Jefferson said, bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. You can't do this, government can't do this, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. You're not. It's more of a exposition of what they're not allowed to do. It enumerates certain specific things that they are allowed to do, and then leaves the rest to the states and to the people. So this really is a wet blanket to Satan, being told that he can't do things and his servants are not allowed to do things. How is he going to get away with these conspiracies? If you read the New Testament, the Old Testament, Satan's men are always conspiring, constantly and ceaselessly. To refute that is to be refuting the very word of God. I'm not sure why many Christians would find this as a surprise, but most times in the scriptures, the most powerful men are in some kind of secret conspiracy with Satan to do some sinning. That's what's on the agenda for today. So why is it any different today? Why should we expect it to be any different? So this is the sort of bent and the honest perspective that a Bible believer is allowed to have by believing the Bible and by believing man's general radical depravity. And so through that lens, it is not difficult to imagine a world in which the wealthiest and the most powerful are actually up to no good. Why is that such a stretch? You know, all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that, oh, we're getting better, actually, and man is basically good, and, you know, government is such a wonderful force for good in the world and has done so many wonderful things for so many wonderful people and is actually like daddy and will solve all the problems and so on. Like, it's extremely naive. Satan wants people to be extremely naive and extremely deceived and trusting and you know, not on guard, not watchful. And as they were debating the Constitution, they were saying that the people would need to be ever watchful. As they were debating the rollout of the Constitution, they were saying, well, who could find such a citizen that would be ever watchful, that would be paying attention and caring and discerning and watching? Well, that's why the program is called Watch Unto Prayer. Because even if you're watching, that doesn't mean that you're going to get any results or anywhere. You have to watch unto prayer. These things need to motivate you to pray and to seek the Lord, as he's the only true deliverance. So, getting back to some of this censorship business. I want to see this one news article that I saw here. Where did it go? It had to do with Pfizer. Of course, Adam Schiff wants on some kind of committee. They passed some kind of regulation, or they tried to in the House, calling it the pencil rule. They call him pencil neck. Adam Shifty Schiff, trying to keep him out. That's not what I wanted to talk about. That's sort of a side thing. Where was I? Nope, going here. Had to do with Pfizer. Pfizer director physically assaults James O'Keefe. You know James O'Keefe from the Veritas? They, like, get people on camera admitting what they're up to, you know? I'm curious to know what the FBI is using all those billions of dollars for if James O'Keefe is able to get this kind of information. Oh, wait, they're serving Satan and the Jesuits, too. That's right. I keep forgetting what team they're on. Well, James O'Keefe and the Veritas staff corners Pfizer director in this restaurant. The Pfizer director, like, freaks out, grabs the iPad, tries to destroy it, absolutely freaks out. His name is Jordan Tristan Walker, Pfizer director of research and development, physically assaulted James O'Keefe and Veritas staffers on Thursday. Yes, today. James O'Keefe confronted Walker at a restaurant and showed him the undercover recordings about Pfizer's plans to potentially mutate the COVID virus. You messed up. Of course, he didn't say messed up. Walker shouted before destroying the iPad, showing the Project Veritas undercover recordings about the, quote, mutating COVID virus. Let me read you this to you. He was shouting in this restaurant. I saw the video. I'm just someone who's working in a company that's trying to literally help the public. Ha ha ha. Not buying it. Where's the other article about this? It was just today and yesterday. Project Veritas. They got this guy, Jordan Walker. Check it out. Jordan Walker. I'm trying to find his title. It's like Grand Master of R&D Development with the secret handshake and the little square and compass ring on the finger. Oh, no, sorry, that's not the official title. The official title is, let's see, Director Walker says that directed evolution is different than gain of function, which is defined as, quote, a mutation that confers new or enhanced activity on a protein, and blah, 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 blah. Don't tell anyone, he says. Don't tell anyone. Promise you won't tell anyone. The way the experiment would work is that we put the virus in monkeys and we successfully cause them to keep infecting each other, and we collect serial samples from them. Ah, he's the director of mRNA strategy. Lord willing, we'll be back after the break. I'll share some more of my thoughts on this interesting individual and how it's probably all going to be censored anyway.
This is 24/7 World Radio, home of Eric John Phelps and Vatican Assassins.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
You're listening to 24/7 World Radio.
Seven World Radio, Watch and a Prayer. And we're back. And I wanted to share some things here. A guy named Jordan Tristan Walker works for Pfizer. The director of worldwide R&D strategic operations and mRNA scientific planning. Wow, what a title. So, this guy, let's see here. He is in this video. Project Veritas, Pfizer exploring mutating COVID-19 virus via directed evolution. Now, I believe viruses are just basically naturally occurring globs of genetic material that are sent out in packets from damaged cells as a life preserver to get that DNA out of the cell and to just communicate and deal with the situation as damage for cleanup and so on. And so that's why I think they find these particles. They're called, what are they called? They butt off from the cell. And there's no way for the scientific community to distinguish a, quote, virus from what's called a, what is it called? The term is escaping me. Well, anyway, what they do is they take all these DNA samples and they have this computer system, you know, find all these little fragments and try to put them together in some kind of order. But the whole system is completely circular because they're using libraries of files in the computer system that are built on the theoretical model of what the other viral DNA is. And so it's a continual circular game of basically having a whole bunch of words from a whole bunch of books cut out on the table, and then trying to have the computer reconstruct the fragments and then give you Pride and Prejudice, or tell you that you have a copy of Pride and Prejudice versus Treasure Island, based on the computer's idea about what the words combine together to make. And so that's basically what they're trying to do with a lot of this simulation. So when they talk about viruses, that's all it is. When they talk about viral mutation, what they're talking about is computers that ran the simulations and got different results. Different computers having different results. And it's all just a shell game in the software. And they never do controlled experiments. They always have a toxic medium of cells. Cells are real, but they always have a toxic medium of cells that are malnourished and that are given antibiotics, and then the cells start to freak out and emit these little particles, and the scientists go, oh, look, we're getting cytoplasmic effect. We have a deadly virus on our hands. We isolated the virus. Well, no, you didn't. You just put the cells in the situation where they're freaking out and scabbing off. That doesn't mean that the virus is doing the damage. And sure enough, there's never really been controlled experiments done. Ever since the 1950s, they've been handling virology this way. I was never told any of these things. Well, recently, a man named Stefan Lanka did the controlled experiments, and instead of adding viral toxins. He just set up the experiment like they always do and wanted to see what the normal experiment would do without any virus added. And sure enough, the cells still freaked out. The cells still produced cytopathic effect. Why? Because they were nutritionally deficient and because they were given toxic antibiotics. And that's what happens to cells when you put them under nutritional duress and under antibiotic load. The cells panic and go into a survival mode and start butting off these small particles of their own DNA, and we call those particles viruses. So the whole theory is flawed in the most grandiose possible way. It's really on par with what I would expect from Rome, the type of error that they're capable of sustaining. I mean, here we are claiming that this Roman institution has been incorrect and wrong for 1,200, 1,300 years, and that it has misled millions upon millions upon millions of people in command of billions upon billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of careers, essentially a waste of time. That level of deception, like, that's what the Bible reveals. I mean, the Bible, Jesus Christ revealed that about the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day, that this whole system is wrong and this whole system needs to change. Like, that is not a new premise. That goes back to Jesus's time. That goes back to the times of the prophets. This idea that this whole system is flawed, and the majority of y'all are deceived. Like, these are things that are not new, and anyone who studies the scriptures is going to understand that this dynamic is not new. Satan is intent on deceiving the world. That's what he likes doing. And he's done a pretty good job of it. Deceiving the world. He likes doing it. It's like a hobby. It's like a passion. It's what he does. And so this shouldn't surprise us. So I think all of virology is completely flawed and has been completely flawed. Just like the whole GMO system is completely flawed. The whole food supply is mostly flawed. The monetary system with all our paper money based upon a Federal Reserve system is completely flawed. The gargantuan flaws and errors in judgment. So that's the level of deception that Satan's talking about here. So here we have Pfizer, mRNA director of, we're going to help you with our science. He's trying to have something called directed evolution. I think it's all just going to be a big waste of time, personally. I don't think we're in danger of mutating COVID-19 viruses. I don't think that it doesn't have very good optics. But if you really probe into the reality of the viral issue, then you will start to see that this is not really going to amount to a hill of beans in reality. It'll amount to, well, it's good for the story. The story goes that we're all going to die from the virus. And the story goes that we need the vaccine to save us from the virus. That's the story. And, you know, the nonconformist story is that a lab in Wuhan developed it as a bioweapon. That's the backup story. I still think that's part of a lying deception. I think that there is no killer virus. I think that we die because of toxins and microorganisms that find a home in places that are inconvenient, like wounds and like your gut. It can get in through your gut and start to damage you. So anyway, your lungs. If stuff has a place to live, and if stuff has food to eat, then stuff is going to grow. And so that's kind of the formula there. I don't think it has to do with viruses, though. So let's see here. Why don't we just mutate it ourselves? He says, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we could create, preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, okay, so he says we have to do that. We're exploring it. Mutate it ourselves as a way to preemptively develop new vaccines. Pfizer is a vaccine company, right? Pfizer is a vaccine company. So they're saying that they're exploring things like mutating, which I don't actually believe we have to be afraid of, and developing new vaccines based upon that, quote, mutation. So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating blanking viruses. Why doesn't anyone want to have that? Why don't we all want that? Are you admitting something here by saying that nobody wants to have a pharma company mutating viruses? Why would you admit that? Because you know that that's wrong? Because you get the sense that people wouldn't want that? What if most people do want a pharmaceutical company mutating viruses, or at least telling us that they're mutating viruses? Oh, because the optics of it make it look like they're creating a problem that they're solving with their virus, their vaccines. And he knows that. He has an awareness of that, the optics of it. Which, to reiterate again, I don't believe we actually have to be worried about that at all, but that's a different thing. Don't tell anyone. Promise you won't tell anyone. Why wouldn't we tell anyone? If you're doing such a great thing, saving lives, and if you're so on the right side of history, then wouldn't you want everyone to know what you're doing? That you're preemptively developing new vaccines to save us all. Isn't this your moral high horse and your absolute righteous stance that you're going to develop these new vaccines to help us all? Don't tell anyone. Promise you won't tell anyone. Oh, you're saying that because you're going to try to, quote, mutate COVID yourself, and because you're going to try to, quote, we have to do that, experiment with that, you don't want anyone to know that that's what you're contemplating experimenting with. So this tells me that the Pfizer, even the head honcho Pfizer people, are under the belief that they can mutate viruses, that they can introduce these viruses into populations of people, which, to reiterate, I don't believe that it's virus. Based on what I've studied. Look at the book Virus Mania. So anyway, you slice it, whether the virus is not real or if it is real, he doesn't seem to be on the moral high ground at this point. Would you at least agree about that? The way it, quote, the experiment would work is that we put the virus in monkeys and we successfully cause them to keep infecting each other. And we collect serial samples from them. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. So that's Pfizer. And we're not supposed to know any of that sort of stuff goes on. And he attacks the Project Veritas guy in the restaurant and tries to destroy the iPad. Check it out. It's like a breaking thing now in the last day or two. What else? Oh, Crazy Jesuit Joe sent some tanks to Ukraine. Of course, Donald Trump is taking the correct stance by saying first come the tanks, then come the nukes. President Trump calls for the end of crazy war with Russia, which I agree with. End this nonsense. I will say also that nukes, in order for a nuke to work, I don't believe that it can actually be dropped from an airplane. I don't believe that it could be shot with a rocket. I believe that it is a on-ground detonation. Kaboom. And that's the only way for it to work. So, we'll get back to some of this other stuff after the break. Actually, I'd like to read the book after the break. But, the censorship people are kicking up high gear. And the Pfizer people would love to have more jabs, even though there's all these sudden deaths and all kinds of destruction. So, Lord willing, we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to 24/7 World Radio.